appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
The congregation is invited to stand. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God shall come. He does not keep silence.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Make his path straight.
Shower, O heaven, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation may spout forth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord,
studied by all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work,
and his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works,
in giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just.
All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever,
to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people.
He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
We pray the collect together. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 61, starting at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he is... I'm going to start over again. As we have done on Wednesdays, there are some bold parts that you can read along with me. I forgot to give you a heads up on that. You don't have to read it. You can just listen to the scripture reading if you'd like. But there are some bold parts in the Old Testament reading and in the Galatians reading, not in the Gospel reading, that if you want to, you can read along with me. Okay. Our reading is from Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons.
And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The choir can come forward for the anthem. From Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
He shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
As this is a teaching service, this is a place where we say something from the small catechism, and you are welcome to open to page 264 in the front of the hymnal, page 264. What we are going to say is the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed. So you may know them very well by memory, but you may know a little bit different translation. So you can recite it yourself or read it from page 264. The Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed.
You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The thing about this order of worship is that the preacher gets no break. He just goes straight into the pulpit, and we sing the sermon hymn after the sermon. That's the way this order of worship works. You are invited to open up that yellow insert and read along, again, the bold print. There's a number of places in the bold print. Not all of it, but a number of places. Or you can just listen if you want. You can just listen to the reading. That's fine, too. But you're invited to read at places of the bold print as we read from the Gospel of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself
unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Okay, seven times the review, the remember section. So there are I am statements in John, and there's about seven of them, although as a Bible study we'll find out next week, there's another potential I am in John, and we've noted that. But there's traditionally seven places where Jesus has said, I am. And when he says, I am, one thing he is saying is he is Creator God. It's clear in John chapter 1 that everything that was made through Jesus Christ. I am is that name of God, Yahweh, that was given to Moses and is throughout the Old Testament. Oftentimes it's Lord God and Lord, all capital letters in the Old Testament. And Jesus is Creator. And he has made all things were made through him. And when he speaks and he declares, he creates reality in us. So when we hear these I am statements, and when his disciples heard those I am statements, he is creating this truth, this reality, faith in us to know that he is our light. He is our shepherd. He is the door. Today, he is the true vine. We remember when God says something, it happens. Let there be light, there is light. And we have covered, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When I scheduled these out for Advent, Christmas, and today, New Year's Eve day, I saw that they just naturally fell into kind of themes of the day and things that are good to think about. It is very, very good to think about where we should abide, what we should hold to, cling on to as we exit 2023 going into 2024. Where is our foundation? Where is our life? Jesus said, I am the true vine. When he says true, it's the real McCoy, the thing that you want, the genuine one, the real one, the actual one. The one, and if it's true and it's actual, I was thinking about this, it's of eternity. It's the one that lasts forever. It's the forever vine. What can we cling to that remains the same no matter what? No matter war or rumors of war, no matter earthquakes, no matter politics and who's elected and whatever is going on, what do we cling to? We cling to the true vine, Jesus Christ, the genuine one. And that word abide, we have it as Christians, and it's in our hymns and songs a lot, but I don't think we use it very often in our everyday language, English. It really means abide, remain, cling. Some English translations say, remain in me. It means cling to him as a branch clings to a vine. And that's what he's telling us. I am the vine. You have to remain and cling to me. Stay with me. That's where your life comes from. Another way to think about it and the truth of what he's telling us is to think of the opposite of that. Well, the opposite would be to separate off, to reject, to go another way, to give up on. That one hits home sometimes because the devil tempts we Christians to give up on Christ, to turn away from Christ because it's not going the way I think it should go. This thing is all falling apart. I'm going to give up on this. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, remain, cling to me, remain with him. And we see that this, he has called those, he attaches us to him. We saw that in the reading a little bit further down towards the end of it. You did not choose me, but I chose you. That is pure grace, pure gift. That we are abiding in him, that we are part of him, that he's our vine, and that we're clinging to him. And he says, now I put you here, stay here. If we don't abide, he gives us the freedom to sin, to lose faith, to go against him. He gives us the freedom to forget him, to reject him. Even though he's our true vine and we need him, he gives us the freedom to separate ourselves. But you see, that's a decision we make. It's his decision to put us in, and he calls us to remain on him. But if we fall away in unbelief and disobedience, what does he say happens in the end? Then it's thrown away and God burns the withered branches. So he calls us to remain in him and stay in him. That's what we need. We need his true life, and as we remain in him, he's our true life giver. He's the source of our life, which has come up in the other I am statements. He's the source that we need. I am the life. We need life. We need Jesus Christ, and he's put us into him. And it's so remarkable in Christianity. It's not that you have done enough good works, now you're a part of Jesus. You have given enough gifts, now you're a part of Jesus. You have made the right decision, now you are a part of Jesus. No, I have chosen you. I have made you part of me. Remain in me and cling to me. How do we do that clinging? How do we do that remaining? I was thinking about this, and you could approach that question in many ways. But one of the very basic directions from Jesus at the end of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. How do you make disciples? How do you remain disciples? Remain in our baptism, remain in his teachings. That is being a disciple, is to remain in him and everything he gives us and tells us. When we remain in him, he says there is this fruit. And in this section here, in this, he talks about love. And we know there's fruits of the Spirit in other places. But here he talks about this fundamental thing, love. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. As you remain and abide in me, love one another. And so we're loving the other branches, all attached to the vine. We're taking care of the plant. We're recognizing Jesus has many branches, not just me, not just Zion, but many branches are attached to him, and we love one another. So we're abiding in him, and we're following his commands, and we are his beloved friends. He says here in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." That love that he's talking about here, we've talked about this in church and in sermons and Bible class before, is agape love. That is the word here, the self-sacrificing love. We are his beloved friends. There's no way he will abandon us. There's no way he will let evil overtake us completely to be separated. If we remain and abide in him, through thick and thin, through good and evil, whatever's happening around us, as we remain and abide in him, we are his friends, and we love one another and take care of one another as he has loved us. This is the fruit that happens as we abide in him. He says, "You do our commands." You know, if you admire somebody, if you have a sports hero or somebody in our society or community that you really regard highly, there's things that that person might do that we will want to imitate because we think they're special. We think they're worthy to be followed. We think that they set a good tone, that they set a good example, and we will follow them. Jesus, if you're my friends, if you're doing my commandments, you see, then we say, that's who we regard Jesus. It's not that the commandments, what we're doing, makes us worthy. It's that Jesus is worthy, and we're following him. And what we're saying to with our lives is that, and to the world, is that Jesus has set my reality and everything about me into eternity. My reality is what Jesus says it is, and I'm attached to him. And so I regard him, I love him, I follow him, I do what he's commanded. That reality is what, that faith, that reality, that relationship with Christ is what Satan attempts to break in us. Oh no, that's not really reality. Look what's happening in your life. Do this instead. Follow this idea instead. Follow this idea instead. Follow this idea instead. Don't worry about this reality. The same temptation right from the beginning. Did God say you should not eat of the fruit of the tree? That was the reality. But Jesus calls us to know and confess that he is our reality. We're following him. I said in a sermon where the way, the truth, and the life, I mentioned it. I hadn't thought of it before that sermon, but this is the way we Christians do it. We have that phrase. This is the way we do it. This is the way we Christians live because Jesus is my reality. And it doesn't matter what other ways are going on around us. This is the way we do it. Jesus is my reality. That is what we Christians are about. Towards the end of this reading, he talks about his Father. And one of the things that we Christians do is call God our Father and regard him as our Heavenly Father and bring all things to him and all problems and concerns to him as our Father. That is a reality also that Jesus reveals to us, creates in us, asks us to abide in and remain in, that God is our Father. And so as we enter 2024, this is the reality Jesus has given to us, and he calls us to abide in that. And he creates that in us, that faith in us. If at times we slip, we lose faith, our faith grows weak, if at times in this coming year we have doubts about all this, remember that this is the reality Jesus always calls us back to. We repent and say, Jesus, I started looking somewhere else. I started following something else. But really, you're my reality. You're my life. And he always strengthens and takes us back. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our source of life, the true vine. We ask you to continue to build us up in faith. Give us a very firm connection to him every day. Keep us in your word. Let us know that in our baptism you have given us your Holy Spirit. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God loves me dearly, grants me salvation. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly, God loves me dearly, loves even me. I was in slavery, sin, death, and darkness. God's love was working to set me free. Therefore, I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. He sent forth Jesus, my dear Redeemer. He sent forth Jesus and set me free. Therefore, I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Jesus, my Savior, himself did offer. Jesus, my Savior, paid all I owed. Therefore, I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even.
The congregation is invited to stand for the prayers of Zion Lutheran Church, printed in the bulletin. We're also adding to the list, Lynette Grooms asked that Norma Giffey be added to our prayer list. She's in rehabilitation in Florida after several strokes. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to rejoice in Christ's blessed incarnation, in thankfulness that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us and give us the adoption as his sons and heirs, and to grant us a glad new year, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that all who have been baptized into Christ may embrace the Christ child by word and faith, and so be ready to depart whenever they are called, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian families, that the Father from whom all fatherhood on earth is named would bless them with his promises. For parents, that they would be diligent and find delight in their work. For children, that by God's favor they would grow in strength and wisdom. And for widows, orphans, and broken families, that God would comfort them with his mercy and give them joy in the redemption won for them in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our President, Congress, Governor, and all our leaders, that justice may prevail and God's people may be free to live at peace with all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the lonely, that they would be comforted with a sure and certain knowledge that God will never forsake them, and that within the household of faith they might find family, friends, and loving companionship. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, especially those who desire our prayers, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Sue, and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Lane, Don, Dave, Randy, Francis, Chelsea, Russ, Joe, Craig, Tim, Linda, Pastor Sampson, and we remember Norma Giffey. That according to God's gracious will, they would be healed, and for those who mourn, that God would fill their hearts with certain hope of the resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together the collect for God's word among us. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray and sing our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
One of the many festivals at this time of year is the naming of Jesus, when he was circumcised and he received his name. So this oftentimes is at the festival time. Also, we can think of starting the new year in the name of Jesus. So this is a festival time of this year, but think of also that this new year as we go into 2024 is Jesus' name of wondrous love. We sing.
Jesus, name of wondrous love, name all other names above, unto which must every knee bow in deep humility. Jesus, name decreed of old, to the shall his people save. Jesus, name of mercy mild, given to the holy child, when the cup of human woe first he tasted here below. Jesus, only name that's given under all the mighty hand, whereby those to sin enslaved burst their fetters and are saved. Jesus, name of wondrous love, so our God to